Eric Dempsey, what have you got for us?
Well, my book is a book called Meetings with Motts by Cathy Baird. Now, Cathy lives in Scotland and she is one of Scotland's moth experts. Mm-hmm. And this book is a beautifully written book. It talks about the life cycles of moths, the camouflage, how they defend themselves, the caterpillars. Everything you ever need to know about moths is written in this book, and it's written in just such a lovely, easy way that you don't realise you're learning until you've closed the book and you go, wow, that was amazing.
Now, it's pronounced Catty with two T's and no H, K-A-T-T-Y, and you spoke with her recently.
I did, Derek, and I began by asking her why she wrote this book.
The main thing I was hoping to achieve is just to share my sort of enthusiasm and joy of moths and to get across that these beautiful insects occur everywhere, wherever you are. So you don't, quite often you read about natural history sort of quests where people are off searching for rarities in all corners of the world or all corners of the UK, but you don't need to travel to see beautiful species, and just learning more about them, getting to know your own countryside, your local habitats and seeing the moths there is something that I really want to encourage. And then I suppose also that I'm a scientist by training, so I wanted to try and weave a little bit of the science of, you know, the ecology and the natural history of these insects into the narrative as well, but not make it too heavy on the science.
Tell me a little bit about your background with moths and tell me a little bit about the book itself.
Well, I've had a lifelong interest in natural history, so I did it as a child. I was a keen bird watcher and always liked insects, and actually went to study insect at university, and then I did a doctorate in aphids. But it wasn't really until 10 years or so ago that I properly got into moths. So I always knew that these beautiful insects were out there and they existed.
It is a very addictive pastime, I have to say. Like, people said to me, oh, you must get into moths. And as a birder, I'd say, no, I'm not getting interested in moths at all. But I just wonder, anybody tell me what this one might be? And then I got a book, and then I got a moth trap. And I swear to God, it is the most exciting thing, because you just don't know what you're going to get every morning. Because you said in your book that opening the trap is like, you know, Christmas morning, where you look inside and you don't know what it is. And I think that is the beauty of your book. You actually capture not just a lot of information written in a beautifully easy way to read, but you actually capture the magic of it. Is that the thing that has you hooked on moths? Is it the magic of it, the unpredictability of it?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's all sorts of things. So there is definitely that unpredictability. And you know that you're, well, sometimes, very occasionally, I have a trap with absolutely nothing in. But you know that usually you're going to get something. And even when it's a moth you've seen before, they're still lovely. And there's lots of variation within each species. So you can see one that's darker than usual or more boldly coloured than usual. So there's lots of different variety within each individual species. So you never get bored. There's a lot of species around. So in the UK, we have 2,500 different species. They won't all turn up in your light trap, but there's still plenty to keep you going for a whole lifetime and more, to be discovering new things all the time. So that excites me. But I also really like getting to know the moth better and learning a little bit more about them and going to look for them, not just in my light trap, but go and look for their caterpillars out feeding on the leaves, or go and look for them by day. Some species fly by day, and just sort of follow them around and learn more about what they get up to during the day and night.
Reading your book, I would class you as a hardcore mother. Would I be right? Because I was reading about you going down into tunnels to look for herals and then finding wintering tissues, which are a wonderful name for a moth. Would you call yourself a hardcore mother?
Well, people sometimes call me an extreme mother, but I'm not sure whether that's true or not. I just do what I like. I think at this time of year, you definitely need to get into the hibernating moth scene. You don't have to go down deep caves or water-filled tunnels. You could just go and look in a garden shed, or if you've got a historic building, which, you know, an unheated old building with dark nooks and crannies, go and shine a torch into the corners there and you may well find a hibernating moth. So they are everywhere, and a really good thing to keep up the moth interest over the winter months when there's not so much on the wing.
Would you tell me a little bit about what you know of the migration of moths? Because that was a revelation to me, because that is something that really might capture the imagination of people.
Moths' migration is absolutely extraordinary and mind-blowing, because these are tiny insects and some of them travel a long, long way. So coming to the UK from North Africa, that sort of distance, you know, it's just incredible that these tiny creatures can reach us here. And it's exciting as well. So you're talking about the unpredictability of what might be in a moth trap in the morning. Well, adding migrant moths to the mix makes it even more unpredictable, because then you've got a whole load of extra species. So where I live on the east coast, southeast coast of Scotland, that's not a bad place for Scotland anyway to receive migrants coming across the North Sea. So we get some really lovely big hawk moths that come in September and October. This year I had a moth called a delicate, which arrived in my moth trap in September. And that was the first time that species had been seen in East Lothian, which is a county where I live. So that was very exciting. They get all these things in the south of England quite often, but it's nice to see them further north. And in Ireland, you'll get a whole load of other exciting species coming your way, particularly in the south.
Absolutely. I'm fascinated by one little one that you were talking about, and it's a diamondback moth. And what fascinated me is that you were saying that, like, I knew that they might come up, but I didn't realise they went back to where they came from.
So some of the species will go back again. The diamondback moth is one that is more of a one-way thing. They're seeking out food to feed on. But a lot of our species, the silver wye is perhaps the most well-known, which comes up here in the spring, migrates in the sort of spring and early summer, and then breeds here for a bit. And then there'll be a return movement of individuals in the autumn. So it's not the same moth coming all the way here and then going all the way back again. They do it through different generations of moths, which again is incredible. So the ones that come up north, head north from Europe in the spring, are programmed to head north. And then a different generation, so their offspring or their grandchildren or their great grandchildren in the autumn, will be programmed to head south. So there's some clever genetics and interactions with the environment and day length and temperature and all these things all going on. And there are researchers who have done quite a lot of research into it as well. Really fascinating.
I have to admit, thinking of you know, moths travelling up from southern Europe or North Africa, and then their generations going back from Ireland or from Scotland, heading back to southern Europe and North Africa, where they would spend the winter, and then the whole thing comes full circle again. That reading that chapter just blew my mind, because I didn't realise that the next generations went back again. And to me, that opens up the whole world of insects, because we think of migrants as things like swallows, but that moths can do that. The other interesting thing is the evolution of moths. You were saying they've been around for millions and millions of years.
Yes. What fascinated me when I was researching this was the way they know how many millions of years ago early moths were, is that people looking in fossil beds, old fossil beds, have found tiny scales. So the wings of moths and butterflies are covered in these tiny, tiny scales. And that's what makes them the group of insects that they are. And these researchers digging around in old fossil beds in Europe came across tiny microscopic scales in amongst the sediments. And that's how they've linked it to when the earliest moths were around.
That's a long time. You know, I've always asked a question of people like yourself. What is your favourite moth and why?
Everyone always asks me that question. And it changes, actually, depending on what I've just seen. But for the winter time, my favourite moth has to be the tissue moth, which I talk about in the book. It's just a beautiful insect. It's quite unusual in Scotland, a bit more common further south in England. But it's just beautiful. It's all this, it's sort of silvery grey, different shades of grey, so sort of slaty coloured and silver coloured, and then these beautiful pink lines and running through it, and a pink fringe. And I come across them. I've never seen one out in the open in a moth trap or anything. I've only ever seen them so far inside caves and mines. And when you're in this dark space with a torch and you shine the torch on the walls and these beautiful moths just appear, it's just magical. And then trying to understand more about their ecology in Scotland as well keeps me occupied. during the winter. Haven't got very far yet, but...
Well, Cathy, I think you've achieved everything you set out to with this book. It's a book I think a lot of people will pick up and will really enjoy. I'm going to be reading it myself again over Christmas. Thank you very much, Cathy. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cathy and Eric Dempsey.